When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
You are listening to Claret and Blue, an Aston Villa podcast brought to you by Birmingham Live.
Hello, welcome back to the Claret and Blue podcast. My name is Dan Rhodes. I'm joined by Typing Matt Kendrick.
Sorry. Need to pay more attention.
How are you? You all right?
I'm all right, mate. Yeah, it's nice to see you in the flesh.
Yeah, good. Welcome to my humble abode.
Thank you. Thank you for my cup of tea.
It's all right. It took me a long time to set all this up, by the way, on the hottest day of the year so far.
Well, I had to keep my cup of tea hot anyway. Apologies for my shoddiness in being late. But
no, it's fine. It's all good. We're here to do one of our first kind of in-person nonsense podcasts, basically. Some people remember the one where you and me did the Martin O'Neill walkout, which we kind of use as a bit of a template. to retell an old story. The stuff we did in lockdown, like the World Cup's best shirts and all that kind of stuff. We're kind of bringing those back out through the summer break. So today, what we're going to be doing is the A to Z of Aston Villa. Now, when I first told you about this, I said, let's do the best things. And then we suddenly realised that there wasn't that many things we could fill the letters with. So some of them aren't necessarily good things. They're just Villa-related.
Probably aren't even Aston Villa things, to be honest.
No, probably not. So we're going to do A to Z, hopefully all in one episode. I've got a list. You've got a list that you've written in various articles over various years. It's probably about 1995, isn't
it? Yeah, it probably is in need of a little bit of, you know, the youth of today to bring it in up to date.
So I'll suggest my letters, you suggest yours, and we'll kind of maybe pick one between us and get a definitive list of 26.
Yeah, that's fine.
Go on then, kick us off with A.
Before I give you warning of this, you've battered me about it, but it has to be, and I'm just familiarising myself with my reasons why, but I know my reasons why, it has to be Aston Villa. I know it's a simple one, but it's just, you know, it's a beautiful name, isn't it?
It is.
You know what I mean? So why wouldn't, banging the mic, why wouldn't it be Aston Villa?
It is. I get it, but if we're doing the definitive list of Aston Villa things and A is Aston Villa, that kind of feels a bit like it's V Villa.
Yeah, V's Villa. V's F is football and C is club. Yeah,
okay, exactly. Yeah, it's a fair enough shout. Is this because of the John Gregory quote?
Not mainly, it's not just because of the John Gregory quote. I will quote it to you. Former boss John Gregory, observing in his autobiography, The Boss, said, even the name is beautifully symmetrical with five letters in each word.
That was like an M&S advert.
It's not just any football club. This is Aston Villa Football Club. I've done a bit of homework for once because I've written this piece yonks ago, but Richard Whitehead in brilliant Villa book, Children of the Revolution. There are loads of Uniteds, lots of cities and towns, a goodly sprinkling of Wanderers and Rovers, and even a few Albions, but there is only one Villa.
It's a nice
one. I mean, it's Pelsall Villa.
Yeah. Villarreal, does that count in Spain?
No, I don't think so. There's only one. You're not listening to Richard. There's only one Villa.
It's a fair shout. I mean, some of mine are players. Some of them are like things, like shirts. So I went Acorns for A. Like the Acorns partnership, the deal when we had the shirt the season before, the one you're wearing, I think. And for a player, just because it was two A's, I went Albert Adoma, just to make use of the alliteration. But I suppose if it's Aston Villa or Acorns.
Can I just on a slight tangent?
I mean, that's what this is all about, tangents.
You know,
just see where we go.
Alphabets, when I struggle going to sleep at night sometimes. Mm. So once I'm asleep, there's no waking me. But I go through themes. I go through alphabet themes.
This podcast is great for you, then.
In my own head, yeah, well, I've been asleep in about 4 minutes. But do you know what I mean? So I've probably done the Villa double-barreled ones before. Mm. So Albert Adoma.
Bosco Balaban.
Yeah, Carlos good. Choir. Dion Dublin.
Oh, this is good, yeah. Should we change the format?
We'll do that next time. I mean, Acorns was a... It was just pioneering, wasn't it? Clubs hadn't done that before.
It looked good as well. Like apart from like the charitable side of it, it was a nice sponsor. It looked clean, looked nice. I don't know whether any of these have got it, but yeah, it's one of my favourite shirts as well. So that was my guess, my submission. So
if you want, I will allow that one.
Okay,
this time because there's going to be someone I'm going to fight more for.
Okay, go on to B then. We'll start with yours every time, and then I'll give you my alternative.
Can't we start with yours because mine's crap?
Okay, I went with a player. a player that around the moments, really. I went Benteke, but his goals. I think Villa posted a compilation on TikTok the other day. Yeah. The overhead against Norwich, QPR free kick. One at Wembley wasn't particularly a great goal, but there's a Wembley. He will score goals and get us out of trouble and win some games for us. So in a pretty bleak 5 or 6 years, Benteke was probably the one standout player. And yeah, what I'd do for prime Benteke up front now.
I think Benteke's got a great shout, and it was in that bleak Paul Lambert era, which I've probably spoken about enough. That was the glimmer of gold, wasn't it? And fair play to Lambert for pulling off that signing.
Because, I mean, he kept us in the league for two or three years.
Yeah, I'm just wary of the comments where we get, what about Barton?
I'll put Barry as well.
And what about Barry? And what about
Barry Bannon?
What about Barry Bannon?
Yeah, I know, that's the thing with just picking one player. So, I mean, you've got a little twinkle in your eyes.
Mine's crap. Mine's not even. It's just a word that has just been shoehorned in around Villa, and it's not, I wrote this 10 years ago, and it was brothers. And this was, it might not be up to date. 16 sets of siblings have played together for Aston Villa.
I've heard this.
So I don't need to go through them all. You know, there's a few like...
Moore brothers.
Yeah, the Moore brothers, the Little brothers, the Ryok brothers.
The Chukwumaker brothers.
The Chukwum, yeah.
To bring it into the present day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good shout, but it's very loosely Villa, isn't it? But then me just picking just Benteke. I mean, but that's the game, isn't it?
Yeah, stick him in.
Ah, two in a row.
Stick him in just for the... it's my favourite Benteke moment, just the shoulder barge on Chris Smalling.
Oh, yeah.
You know, scored so many great goals, but just leaving Chris Smalling, crying for his mum by leaving him on his arse.
Did he score that same game he scored that goal in, where he kind of shimmied one way and then the other?
I'm not sure he scored that one that day, because I think he created a couple for Vyman.
All right, two in a row for me. Then I'm going to let you go see, because mine's weak. Mine's like Aston Villa at this point.
Yeah, I've gone for Charlie, as in Charlie Aitken. So
first name is also allowed.
Well, you said there's no rules.
Yeah, fair.
Is the is Villa's record appearance maker?
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just checking my stats. 660 times between 1961 and 1976. So, you know, people keep saying Gabby Bonlahor's Premier League goals record's never going to be beaten. Charlie Aitken's all-time appearance record.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
How many was that again?
660. And as I've written here, Villa have seen their fair share of big-time Charlies down the years, but only one genuine long-time Charlie.
Good, yeah. So I went with another player, but I'm not going to go with that because it's going to feel a bit like a cop-out to keep using players. So I went Claret and Blue, and not the podcast before someone assumes that I'm that big-headed.
But the going with first names, are we not just going with Blue?
I know, Claret and Blue, just the colours, it's iconic, a bit like the name. Again, some stats fans will tell me that we robbed Claret and Blue from somebody else, but we were found before everyone else.
I mean, we don't want to make a habit of me just turning 10-year articles into podcasts, but I think there's one further down that's really random and probably won't make the cut, but references the Claret and Blue as well.
My player one was Carew, again, similar to one of my first proper players that I liked growing up, but I didn't want to have a couple of forwards in a row, so I went the colours of the club. I'll give it to you. I'll let Charlie Aitken in. What's he ever done to get into this list? But yeah, let's have a player in there, someone who's got a record after him. And
yeah, I think you're the kind of you're the new blood, aren't you? Who's going to probably hit our demographic better than me? Yeah. But I'm the one who's just going to try and keep some of the old guys, guys and girls in the room entertained.
Yeah, a bit of references to days gone by as well.
D, I've gone for Deadly, as in Deadly Doug, and. You know, during the planning meeting for this podcast, that you were saying, no, it's supposed to be the best. And then we realised that, like you said, some of the letters, we'd struggle to get the best.
Struggle to get anything.
I think Deadly Doug is synonymous with Aston Villa for fans of a certain age. You know, chairmen just weren't well known back then.
Invented the bicycle kick?
Well, he did. Yeah, he's big friends of Tom Finney. He invented the bicycle kick, as he would tell anybody within earshot of him. We've done loads of the European Cup stuff lately, and people blaming him with some justification for not building on the success because he resented the fact that he wasn't around when it happened. But yeah, he was just, you know, massive ego. I think he did have Aston Villa at heart. He obviously clearly had Doug Ellis at heart as well, and liked the limelight of being a football club chairman. But yeah, just think Aston Villa in the any time between the mid-80s and the mid-noughties, and people would know Doug Ellis.
Yeah.
Not necessarily for the right reason.
Where's the deadly thing come from?
Well, people said it was because he'd got a reputation for sacking managers. Mm. You know, sacked probably, I don't know, 10 managers in his time at Villa. Would it be that many? Possibly. He says that that's not the case, and that Jimmy Greaves gave him the nickname because he was a deadly angler when they went on fishing trips.
That's not true.
And he'd always land whatever fish he wanted, which he wasn't quite as good as that, landing transfer targets and stuff. But I think that's the story.
You've got to have Doug Ellis in, I think, if you're doing the big list of Aston Villa. He's associated with the club for so long, whatever you think of him. Mine's going to be an honourable mention here. Dale. Mick.
You know, like I said last time, he's the most well-sung, unsung hero you've ever heard.
He texted me after that episode as well and wished me well and stuff. So I thought, in the back of my mind, I'm writing this. I thought, yeah, Dale, Mick.
Yeah, other notable mentions, I'd say.
Dion Dublin. I feel like I've got to think of a player with both letters for the name.
No, I wasn't necessarily thinking Dion Dublin. I was thinking Dean Smith.
Yeah. I think he might be my S.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Dennis Mortimer.
Yeah.
Des Bremner. You know, Dalian Atkinson.
Yeah, good.
So there's a lot of fine names, but I suppose it's the alphabet. So we're gonna come across probably most, aren't we?
Yeah,
I thought.
Yeah,
is deadly going in?
Yeah, go deadly. Deadly Doug Ellis for D.
That's really mean on Mick. That is making him lose to deadly.
Oh, you picked it. Do you want to go E?
European Cup.
I'll put European champions.
Well, European goes in anyway.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah, just want to drop a link to all of our material from the last 5 weeks. So that
we've done European Cup to death, haven't we, really, I think, on this channel. Yeah. Not to kind of downplay how big of an achievement it is, but, you know, we did our podcast, I think it was March we filmed that, wasn't it, in Cornwall. So to us, it feels like a long time ago. If you're talking the club's history overall, the European Cup is a massive, massive part of that. However much you kind of get this accusation that we bang down about it or kind of living in the past. Only a couple of clubs in England that have done it. So, yes, shout about it.
FA Cup.
Is that what you put?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can have that as well.
Again, probably for a certain generation of fans, it's become an obsession. There's lots of fans. Sadly, I'm not among them who've seen us win everything else.
Yeah.
But there's lots of fans who have seen us win all the domestic trophies, a big European trophy, a European Super Cup, and this one's continued to elude us. I mean, how many years are we talking now? 57 is 43 plus 22 is 65, is that right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
65 years?
I mean, you've got to be 70 plus to even just about remember it and into your 80s to have potentially been there. Not many Villa fans left who will have seen us won everything now. We need to win another one, don't we? So the kind of legacy goes on.
Kind of should, really, shouldn't we? You know.
Well, me and my dad talk about this quite a bit. I don't know what the numbers are now. Is it Arsenal with the most? Oh, 12 or 13 or something like that.
Going past them.
If we'd have, I think we'd won a trophy every decade up until 2000. And we've obviously not won one since the 90s. If we'd have won like four FA Cups since 1957, four FA Cups in 65 years, like we'd still have a good chance of being right up there. I mean, we're still in the top six or seven or something, but we should still be up in the top two, having not won one for that long.
Will we stop talking about when we win it? No, we'll talk about it even more, but
it'll be the end of the anniversary, won't it? That'll be the next thing to go at.
Oh, 10 minutes to win the FA Cup.
Yeah, that's got to go in. I'm just going to mention Martial just to make, for the sake of continuity. I said Friedel. It's weak, isn't it? I couldn't think of another F. Clutching at straws a little bit with that one. So FA Cup definitely gets in. G?
What you got first?
Again, I had a lot of players in my list. I went Grealish at first. I mean, that'll probably ruffle a few feathers, won't it? Oh, they're still banging on about him. So I put / Gabby, just as again. I mean, again, yeah. Record holder of the Premier League goals.
Do you know what I've gone with? And it's a little bit, not contrived, but... God.
McGrath.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yours is better than mine again.
So, Villa fans can never hear the spiritual song Come By R without replacing the words with Paul McGrath, my lord, Paul McGrath. McGrath was a flawed genius, nicknamed God for turning defending into an art form despite battling alcoholism. Renowned as one of the best players in Aston Villa history, and rightly so, a genuine legend who illuminated the club between 1989 and 1996.
I wish I'd seen him play. the things you hear about him.
It was just magic. It was just effortless, really. You know, the story's been trotted out so many times about him never training and then just being ready and available. To tell you the story that Jim Walker told me.
No, go on.
He got him at Bodymore doing rehab with him at the old Bodymore. And they bought this new exercise bike. Apparently, he was pedaling away, first of all, when it was on the easy setting. And then Jim started cranking it up and putting like the incline on it. And he disappeared out of the room. They come back in. And he'd come back in and Paul was standing by the side of the bike. And apparently, Jim was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And McGrath said, "Oh, whenever I go uphill on the bike, I always jump off." <That's> I good. Jump off and push. Oh, brilliant. I'm probably being biased, but he's got to go in there some way.
Yeah, definitely he's in there. If he's not in there at G, he gets in there at PRM, doesn't he?
We'll probably get in both, won't he? Probably get in three times.
There's a lot of, obviously, I think it probably goes without question that he's probably our best defender ever. Is he one of our best players ever?
I think so. Probably one of your European Cup winners. Like Sid's got a strong shout for being one of the greatest players, probably the top three players. McGrath. I don't know where. It depends how far back you go. Because, you know, does the FA Cup winners of 57, is there a Johnny Dixon in there? Or?
Even earlier than that, early 1900s when we win everything every single season.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Grealish probably, I know he didn't make it in for the G, but he probably gets the vote of the greatest Villa player of this century, I'd have thought. So, talking in the last 22 years.
Yeah. Best player I've seen, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I think for me, and I've been lucky enough to see McGrath play and wasn't really old enough to catch the 81-82 glory season. He's by far the greatest player I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And he's a lovely fella as well.
Let's get him on the podcast.
Yeah, we need to, don't we?
H, pretty easy on this, I thought. Holtend?
I was just trying to think. Yeah, I've got Holtend as well. So I was trying to think of anything stupid to to rival it with. Habib Bey.
Iconic stand and obviously a bit biased, but one of the best stadiums, which I think will probably be my V, I think.
Have you ever been on the Holtend?
A couple of times, yeah. My season ticket's Trinity. Been a few times for cup games and stuff like that. I don't really like, for watching the actual game, I don't really like being behind the goal, watching it vertically. It's just something about it is kind of weird to get your bearings, but seeing goals and stuff behind the goal is obviously good. I think I was in there, and this is a bit of a tangent, Fabian Delph. Did he sign a new contract before a cup game?
Didn't they put it on the big screen?
I was in the hot end for that. That's my weird little tangent there. Yeah. Was that the contract he signed before we left?
Yeah. 6 months before we left.
Yeah. So I was in the hot end for some cup game. Yeah. In Bournemouth, maybe.
I think it possibly was Bournemouth.
Carlos Hill scored. It's all flooding back now.
Last time I was in the hot end was when we beat Middlesbrough, or drew with Middlesbrough in the second leg of the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, the atmosphere, the game was pretty poor. It's been a war of attrition. But the atmosphere was pretty good. I resisted running on the pitch, though. You'll be pleased to know.
Yeah, good. We don't allow that, do we? So, don't condone that. No.
But Holtend, yeah, without a shadow of doubt, it's, again, one of the things Villa's most famous for.
Yeah.
When it was a standing terrace, it was an absolute beast of a stand and a place to watch football from. I think they've rebuilt it sympathetically and, you know, the facade outside still looks really spectacularly impressive. And I'm one of those who loved my time in the Holtend, but actually quite like not being in the Holtend now, so I can see the Holtend in its glory.
I've gone with a player again, first name, to get in there.
Ian Taylor Benicio.
Is Ian Taylor, of course it is, yeah. What a guy. I've met him a few times. I tweeted it the other day, the clip of when we had him on during lockdown, and he's just digging me out for living in like a prison cell. My bedroom had a grey bed sheet or something. He's like, "Oh, you're living in a prison cell over there, mate." Just a nice guy. Again, didn't get to see him as a player, unfortunately, but you know, the things that you do see, you know, highlights reels and stuff. Again, maybe one of the best to ever do it in Carlton Blue.
It must be I've told this crap joke before, but there used to be a football magazine called 90 Minutes, and I think they interviewed Taylor, and I think they told him this joke at the start of the interview. And he used to be a forklift truck driver, Taylor did, when he played at Moor Green non-league, and he used to live in Rowley Bridges, actually.
Did he?
And I didn't know that. I think something goes that a bloke goes for an interview as a job to be a forklift truck driver. They're talking about his skills. Can you drive a forklift truck? And can you make a decent cup of tea? And he goes, Christ, and picks the teapot.
That's good.
I don't know why I've introduced that really crap joke here, but he just makes me chuckle all these years on. Tails, yeah, he's a legend. And the one that I'm going to serve up in opposition to him, as quirky and as interesting as funny as it is, or peculiar as it is, it can't knock Tails out of this out of the list. He's a friend of the show. Evo Stas.
Yeah, good. Good quiz question.
So
I have to wrap my head around that question every time I read it.
Which Villa player scored for the club without ever playing a game for them?
I liked how you put your telephone voice on then for a second. I don't know why I'm going to as if I'm about to guess it and I know the answer. But yeah, I always have to think, how can you score without playing? He scored an own goal and then we signed him afterwards or something.
Yes, so Stas scored an own goal playing for Banik Ostrava during Villa's 2-1 victory over the Slovakian club in the UEFA Cup in October 1990.
I thought it was a friendly.
Despite the own goal, the defender actually played well and was signed by Villa boss Joseph Venglos the following month, only to suffer an Achilles tendon injury which prevented him from ever kicking a ball competitively for the club. So there you go. Tails is in.
All right, let's have Jay then. We're almost halfway, but the last few bits where I've got nothing, we'll probably go through quite quickly. Again, I'd probably say friend of the show at this point, given he gave us 3.5 hours of his time. John Gregory?
Yeah, it's a really good shout.
I wouldn't like to be 10 years older, but to have seen more Villa things of the 90s, I'd like to have been 15, 16 in that time rather than just being born.
Yeah, I feel a bit spoilt early by this podcast in terms of being able to, people I really, really did hero worship, being able to get to meet them years on and getting them to give them our time and actually being, you know, always a bit apprehensive about meeting your heroes, but actually being sound, really just having a laugh and enjoying having a natter and stuff like that. So Gregory, you know, we'd have still kept him talking there, wouldn't we?
I'd love to get him back on because there's so much stuff that we haven't even really gone into.
Yeah. So he's a good shout. I've got a weird one, which I think John Gregory will beat this one, but this is back in the kind of black and white kind of Brill Cream days, basically. So a bloke called Jimmy McMullen. He was Villa's first manager, but he was also a pioneer in English football, the way that the game should be played. I think John Gregory would probably, like the FA Cup, John Gregory would probably strike a tone with more people alive to remember.
Yeah, okay.
His good days. The other shout would be, you know, Jack Grealish again. We've spoken enough about him without him having his own letter, I think.
Well, let's go, Gregory, and move on because we're going to get bogged down in the details all day. I don't know why I'm so keen to move on to Kay when my document is clearly blank.
I've got Kendrick.
I was going to say
myself in like in the five side team.
I was going to mention that as a passing joke, but you've done it now. But yeah, I didn't get anything with Kay.
I've got King, Phil King.
Okay.
Because of the penalty. Future
King of England.
Well, that as well, King of England. Mervyn King. Yeah. Governor of the Bank of England. So we got three kings.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, I mean the original thing was Phil King with the penalty and the celebration. Kenny Swain and Ken McNaught from the European Cup match. I can't think of many K's. That's Mark Kinsella.
Yeah, Lewis Kinsella. Gone to L because I've got some for the next couple of letters.
I've gone with Lamp.
Lamp. Oh, the lamp. Yeah. The gas lamp.
Because of it being little sneaky little corner where this great obsession for us all was first conceived, basically. You know, it taps into the kind of rich history of the club.
Good. I went with the Luke Roper shirt. This is something a bit different. I've got the shirts down on display, which I don't have. I don't usually buy shirts when they come out because they're 50, 60 quid, and I always think, I'll get it on sale later down the line. They're always 15 quid or whatever. Yeah. But the season that you get promoted, it suddenly becomes this shirt that everyone wants. And it was a nice shirt, to be fair, but goes for silly money now on eBay, and I always think, I'd love to have one hanging up in the background I want to wear, and one of the best shirts we've had in the last 15 years, probably.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where everything came together with that shirt, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, if we didn't get promoted, it'd be a nice shirt, and that'd be the end of it, kind of thing.
But I think just the story about it anyway, because it was a nice looking shirt that kind of was a bit of a throwback to shirts from the past. It was a local lad made good, a big Villa fan, who'd got the gig to do it, and it was a shirt which we actually won something in, albeit a playoff final rather than a European Cup final.
Villa kit supplier, Villa captain, Villa manager, you get promoted back to the Premier League. It's probably the most successful season we've had.
Yeah.
Since the last time you win a trophy or the last time you get into Europe? What?
I mean, I get all that, but it's no Lamp, is it?
Yeah. I joke about it, but yeah, Lamp does get in there for me.
Does it?
Yeah, because it's part of the history, isn't it?
Yes.
I'll give you Lamp. It's a bit of a rubbish title, isn't it?
I bet Lou could design a really nice kind of stylish lamp for the corner of your living room. Not that you need one, I'm just saying.
I've got two for this, but I'm going to let you go first because I feel like one of them is semi-obvious.
Oh, mine's really, really random.
Go on then.
Murder.
Okay.
The old Tommy Ball murdered over his chickens.
I mean, good job it isn't the best things of Aston Villa, isn't it?
I wanted some quirky random stuff, but I'm sure you can oust murder.
Oh, man, I'd like to think so.
Manslaughter.
I've gone for an obvious one. Mortimer, of course. Yeah. Mortimer 82, that iconic photo with the trophy. And I went for something a bit more niche. McGinn versus Wednesday. That goal.
Yeah.
Again, dewy-eyed back to 2018. But I wanted a moment in there rather than a piece of history. So Mortimer is probably my number one answer there. I mean, you can't have the European Cup winning captain not mentioned in a best of Aston Villa list.
Probably would. And this is harsh, really.
It's harsh on Tommy Ball. It really is.
It's harsh on Tommy Ball. It's harsh on McGinn. And this is really bad because it was a spectacular goal, but it was associated with the match that we lost.
Mortimer gets in there, I think.
I would, yeah.
Okay.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, of course. And again, I've got nothing for this one.
Oh, that's good. So it begins with N. I've gone Nickel for Chris Nickel, and for the reason that he scored four goals in one game, two of them for Villa, and two of them against Villa. Again, it's just probably my fascination with weird facts. And
I like that, though. We need a bit of that.
He was a lovely, lovely fellow as well. Really, really great guy. Big guy. Big, strong guy. But that's mine.
When it goes in by default at the moment, I couldn't think of anything else. I've just sort of Nobby Solano. But
yeah, there's a few in there. There's like Knee Lamptey, I suppose. And is there any more? Is that it? Nobby and Knee? Neil Taylor,
of course, what an icon. There'll be people watching this, if they've got this far, that are screaming answers that are very obvious things that we've forgotten, because you've only really looked at an old list that you've done. And I've put very little effort into my list. So there's bound to be some obvious things that we've missed. We'll go Nickel, just because you've actually put some work in.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine.
I think I've written down what I've seen you write down before, so let's see if you put that.
I've gone with, oh, it must be.
Yeah, that's what I put, just because I'd flicked through your piece before. Explain.
Obviously, the commentary of Peter with Scott. I don't think us getting through two or three references to the European Cup is overkill.
Nah, really. 26.
So it's just that famous bit of commentary by Brian Moore. It's a weird bit of commentary.
I think it's very old-fashioned, isn't it?
And I think I always get venture and adventure.
I was literally just about to ask you about that, because they put the sign wrong, didn't they, on the North Stand? Do you remember that, the banner? And it had adventure, I think.
I think it is adventure. What's it say now?
I'm sure, maybe it's vice versa then. I seem to remember it saying adventure, and then a couple of games later, it was venture, and there was just a line down the middle where they clearly just chopped off the ad and put it back to venture. Right. It's one of those ones that you probably need to listen back.
I think I've listened back and I think it's adventure, but that still hasn't.
Do you think some of that is that it's a 40-year-old clip and the sound is a bit, old? You know, that's proper when they speak proper, unlike us.
Speak proper.
Adventure, venture, like, it's very easy to mix those up and they both mean the same thing.
I think we should save this for the V.
yeah, that gets in. Any notable honourable mentions?
It's O'Neill, isn't that?
O'Neill, of course.
Cloud is O'Leary, who was there with McLeod.
George Okoro.
There's Okoro,
Olaf Melberg.
Olaf Melberg.
That's a decent
shout. Yeah.
Did I use that for M? No, I didn't. Yeah, Olaf Melberg. I like that. I'd love to get him on the podcast as well, but I think we tried before and he didn't fancy it.
I think I pestered Martin Lawson to keep asking him and keep checking him, and he sent me a very... Martin Lawson, with the politest man in the world, sent me a very blunt, he doesn't want to talk to you.
You got P? I've got two. Again, I've got a player and a thing.
I've got Pongo Wearing.
Good shout. I've got Petrov for my player.
Did you put Petrov in?
My second P was promotion. So that's a bit...
That's a bit crap.
Let's not shout too much about finishing fifth in the championship and going up via the playoffs.
Yeah, there's no getting away from the fact that what he had to contend with in terms of his health has kind of catapulted him to a different level than if it had just merely been a player and finished his career. But I do think that perhaps, he was one of those ones who was underrated because he got a lot of good flair players alongside him.
Mm.
He was the one who was prepared to sacrifice himself for the team. He was a grafter. And he was actually a pretty elegant player as well.
Yeah,
along with that, he was a good footballer as well. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know, but I've just Pongo apparently scored 50 goals one season, 49 in the league and one in the FA Cup. I presume it was a consolation in the third round defeat to Manchester United. It was also the season Villa scored their highest number of league goals, 128 league goals.
Nice. Pongo again, history kind of thing, records yeah. broken, probably deserves it. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's okay. Petrov in there.
We'll go with a more audience that's actually still alive.
Yeah, I think yeah. so.
Q. I don't even know what you've put. Come on.
I'll put quote, but I'll get through the quote in a minute. What have you?
I haven't put anything.
Is there any Qs? Are we missing anything obvious?
I don't think so. Because I had a big list of players, like every player that's played for Villa listed alphabetically. I don't even think there was one. Can I have another quick look while you read those out if you want?
Q? I mean, there's a queue for season tickets at the moment. This is a quote by William McGregor. If there is a club in the country which deserves to be dubbed the greatest, and the matter is one of some delicacy, few will deny the right of Aston Villa to share the highest niche of fame with even the most historic of other aspirants. For brilliancy, and at the same time for consistency of achievement, for activity in philanthropic enterprise, for astuteness of management, and for general alertness, the superiors of Aston Villa cannot be found.
It is nice, yeah. Yeah, there's no player that's ever played for Aston Villa with the surname Q. Q is difficult. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it, doing a list of the letters? We're now at the stage where there isn't really anything and this is the end of the podcast. So, the definitive list of Aston Villa, William McGregor's quote gets Q.
Well, if people have got better suggestions in the comments, let's hear them.
Again, I've got nothing but Jacob Ramsey. Which is, again, feels a bit of a cop out, to be honest.
Yeah, I've gone for Ron Saunders.
Ah, he's my S.
In this. What's my S now? God, I've gone too soon on this.
Yeah,
Ron Saunders was the architect of this squad that gave Villa the moments of magic that kind of propped up the modern day history. It was a dynasty, really. Yeah. It wasn't just something by fluke. People might think that Villa were fly by nights 1981, 1982, and then disappeared from whence they came. That was a work in progress from when he arrived in the mid-70s. You know, a couple of League Cups along the promotion, a couple of League Cups along the way. He is the closest thing that Villa would have to an Alex Ferguson, I think, or a Wenger, somebody who could actually build something lasting, which probably just does explain some of the resentment that it was all demolished and smashed up and that he had to leave at the time he did. But he's got to go in there for me, unless you've got...
I've not thought of anything since you've been talking. I didn't write anything down. So, yeah, Saunders was my S. So, let's kind of kill two birds with one stone.
You're going to come at me with Richardson, I think, Kieran Richardson. I wouldn't have had anywhere to go with that, but
Ron Saunders probably get a stand named after him, or statue, or...
S is for stand or statue.
Yeah, he's got to be in there, hasn't he? S, you know, mine, Saunders. What is yours? So, I've got a second.
Well, I've got two as well, and the one was shambles.
Shambles? We can't have shambles.
And the reason it was shambles is because that was the word that Graham Taylor used when he came into relegated Villa in 1987 and had to just start again, just, you know, get us back on the upward curve and did. But I'm just wondering if, again, for the more modern demographic, we should go for Smith, for Dean Smith.
Yeah,
almost done the same job that Graham Taylor did.
Yeah,
you know, a generation previously.
Yeah, my second S was Smith, so Smith probably gets it.
Yeah, we're probably approaching 9 months since he's gone. Mm. Still a bit raw,
is it?
Yeah, I know we've moved on and we're trying to kind of compete for different prizes and our transfer policies. You know, cherry picking some of the best players across Europe now, but. Like you said in the Luke Roper shirt season, it was a special time to have that kind of, you know, Villa fan DNA running through everything that we did. And I don't think we'll ever replicate that. We can have success, hopefully, in a different way, and it won't make it any, you know, if it's a Scouser who's guiding us to success rather than somebody from Great Bar, I'll still take that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, just it pleased me when he came back with Norwich. And, you know, bless him, it was happened to be the day that Norwich got relegated. But I'm just glad that he stayed. He did the Dean Smith thing and stayed. Was the last person on the pitch shaking all the hands, just so that he could get the the little bit of love from the people who are still inside the stadium. I thought that was a really, really important moment to kind of say farewell.
Yeah, Smith gets in there. T, I've not written one down, but Graham Taylor is a pretty good shout. You've obviously just spoken about him.
No. Yeah, I'd put Taylor in there definitely.
Okay. Was that your tea as well?
It wasn't my tea. I've gone with Trabzonspor.
Oh God!
There's a story behind this.
Go on then, tell it.
Trabzonspor's colours. They're playing claret and blue.
Yeah.
Villa.
Is it claret and blue or is it red and blue?
Well, for the purposes of this story, it's claret and blue. Steve Stride, obviously former Villa secretary, and then went on, and I think he still is, to become like a UEFA delegate, so goes to Champions League games and makes sure that everything's just so and this kind of thing. But he found out, apparently, at a Trabzonspor match, that he spoke to the Trabzonspor president, who revealed that when the club was formed in 1967, they had no money for kit, so contacted a number of clubs in Europe, and Villa were the only ones to respond, sending a full set.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
It's interesting, isn't it?
It's a good story, but it's not going to get in there.
It's
not going to get into tea, is it? Trabzonspor is in our list of Aston Villa things.
Yeah, but that at least fills a bit of time for when we get to X and Z.
Yeah, great point. It's a good story. I didn't have anything. I mean, I've probably not put as much time into this as I could have done, but I mean, we're in the depths of the letters here at this point.
Do you know what I want to go with here? And it's different from the one that I put down on my list, but I'm going to go with Hugo.
Hugo, of course, yeah.
Hugo Ekiog.
Yeah, great shout.
Great player, actually, during a great time, a very good time for Villa. And I don't get too morbid on it, but we've lost a lot of really, people before their time, Villa people before their time, and, you know, none more so than Hugo, who was, you know, a fitness fanatic, as far as I know, and was still doing good things in youth football at Spurs, I think he was, wasn't he, at the time. And he was a bit of a kind of a hybrid, really, Hugo, because he was an absolute kind of beast of a defender in terms of his physical strength. He also had this kind of weird elegance about him as well, and he could play.
For a big guy as well.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, I'd have him in there. I did have Unsworth.
Yeah.
In there.
We'll talk about Unsworth in another podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about Unsworth another time. But yeah, put Hugo in there.
Again, I've gone for a cop-out, not Villa. I went Villa Park, one of the best stadiums in the country, in my very much biased opinion. But fair, it gets a lot of love from neutrals and ex-players as well. I think it's Gary Neville's favourite opposition stadium. But yeah, Villa Park, iconic, nice stadium.
Yeah, well, that will make the cut. I've gone for VAR.
Oh, no.
Because we wouldn't be in the Premier League if it wasn't for VAR. It's nothing to do with any goals we've scored, any matches we've won, or any way we compete. It's just because of... well, that's probably more Hawkeye.
I was going to say, that should have been H.
Yeah, it should have replaced it Holt End with that. Now, Villa Park, the only other kind of notable mentions, I suppose, we have Vassell, didn't we?
Yeah.
It was very good for a while. Venglos, it was very bad for a while. I don't know, is there any more Vs?
I mean, there will be loads, won't there? But...
Jordan Veretout.
Yeah, good. W. I went Wembley. Wembley trips, Wembley visits, Wembley day outs, Wembley wins. It's nothing like, is it, going to the National Stadium to play a cup final or semi-final and actually winning the thing. And we've had our fair share of trips there, so
Wembley's your big dub.
Yeah, my big W.
I've gone for William McGregor. I know we've heard from him already.
Yeah, twice, I think.
And as I put here, he's the bearded bloke made of bronze and holding a piece of paper outside Villa Park. If you don't know who he is, by now, Google him. He's quite important.
I mean, that probably has to go in, but I feel like Wembley is a decent secondary shout.
Yeah, it can go in as runner-up. Yeah, that's fine.
2 out of 2. All right, we're in the depths of the alphabet here with X. Originally, this plan was supposed to be battling out the best things about Aston Villa. You pick one, I pick one, and we'll pick a definitive. And I got to X and realised there was nothing apart from Tony Jarre. And I thought, well, we can't have a best list with Tony Jarre on.
We have to change
the format because of that. It's just Villa things generally. So Tony Jarre by default for me, because I couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah, we're very much into the territory of great for Scrabble tiles, but not so good for
not so good for podcasting.
Not so good for podcasts. Do you want to know my original one that I wrote in this piece?
Yeah, of course.
Jarre will go in because it's more relevant, even though it's not great to remember.
Yeah. I mean, this was before Tony Jarre. You wrote this article originally, I would have thought. So.
Indeed, yeah, probably before he was born. So I've gone for ex-girlfriend. Right. And the story is, one of my colleagues Went to interview Marlon. Have I told you this before?
No.
Went to interview Marlon Harewood at Bodymore Heath. I tried to just do a bit of homework on him, see if he could get a quirky angle out of him or something. He'd found, Marlon had got his own website, and he found, you know, the standard football question, like Peter Crouch is always, what would you be if you hadn't been a footballer? Mm. I'd have been a virgin. And the thing is, Marlon Harewood was, what would you be if you hadn't been a footballer? And it said, like, painter and decorator. So my colleague, like, when he's not a friend of anybody, not me, he's a colleague.
Yeah, but my friend, the journalist. Yeah,
went along and asked him, said, I hear that you'd have been like a painter and decorator if you hadn't. And he goes, that's not funny. That's not funny. What do you mean? That's not funny. He said, no, he said on your own website, you'd have been a painter and decorator. I don't know what you're on about. That's not funny. And he stormed out. I think either the Sun or the News of the World or whatever it was back then had done a kind of kiss and tell story, and Marlon had been playing away so that his mistress or whatever didn't recognise him. He'd invented this persona as Marlon Harewood, this kind of interior design specialist, and his website was run by his brother, who thought he'd put this on there for a laugh, and had wound him up. So like I say, my colleague just like mortified, oh, what have I done? And it was all because Marlon's mischievous brother was playing a little prank on him. So that was X for ex-girlfriend.
What a weird shout that is, so, to have that story be
that's
that.
That's how desperate I was for an ex.
Yeah.
Well, not for
I wanted to get Marlon Harewood on the podcast. I don't think he'll want to come on now.
Well, he might. He might want to set the record straight.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, actually, I need some skirting board stuff.
Tony Jarre gets in, which is grim.
Yeah.
But what I think we'll probably do a podcast about his time at Villa at some point. Like we did the kind of story of O'Neill, the story of Tony Jarre. Some of the stuff from that era is amateur hour, isn't it? It really, in hindsight. I quite like the emoji tweets, though. I'll give him that. I think it's quite a quirky, interesting way of like, having you the chairman or your own on social media. As much about as it was the one frustrating when as hell.
Uncle Jimmy, Jimmy Savile. Oh, yeah. Happy birthday.
Oh, God. What an utterly bizarre time that was.
Yeah, it was strange. And I think, I'm not saying that you can't have a public persona as a chairman or an owner.
Is that right?
Just spitting a few beats here.
Beats.
But the current two go about their business.
That's how it should be done.
Quietly and, you know, with a little bit more decorum. Mm. We were all swept up in it, weren't we? You know,
yeah, it was fun at the time.
Fans were interested in the cryptic clues, the cryptic transfer clues. And, you know, as journalists, we kind of lapped it up in terms of the little nuggets of information that were coming out. But, Christ, we'd have really known what was going on behind the scenes.
It's mad, isn't it? Oh, it probably deserves its own little mini 20-25 minute chat, to be honest, about him, so we'll kind of save that. Two letters left. This has gone on for probably a little bit longer than I thought. There's been some good stories, so hopefully people are still with us as we get to Y and Z. Have you got one?
I've gone York.
Ah, good.
For Y. It's one of those ones who falls into the category. I've spoken about this so many times, about people losing a bit of respect for him because, you know, kissed the badge, didn't he, for United against us, and then went to Blues and played there as well. Just thought he was brilliant. Just such a gifted footballer. Playing with a smile on his face. Probably said to you before, even before he started the game, he used to run the length of the pitch, balancing a ball on his head.
Yeah.
And even if Villa lost, which was very rare that those days, you think, crikey, that was good. I'm glad
I came for that.
Glad I came to see that. I can do that, you know.
Can you?
Yeah. I'll do it one day. Okay. But I tried to do it. It was a kids football tournament on Saturday. My daughter was playing. Me and my lad were knocking about with a football. But I'd got my glasses. I got my hat on, a cap, so my head didn't burn. And I got my glasses on, so I didn't go dizzy. And I was trying to do it like that. And like,
can you balance it on your head, or can you run the length of a pitch?
Yeah, both.
Both.
Yeah, probably half. Probably running might be the thing. Yeah. Let me practice over the next few months, and at an arranged time before the end of this calendar year, you can film me running half the length of a pitch with a football balanced on my head.
I went UPIA.
Oh, yeah.
As a bit of a niche answer.
Is that a Bruce Willis thing? Is that?
Yeah. We don't have any chance all the way through a big list of Villa things. So I thought that was a pretty good use of the word Y. Again, if I was playing Scrabble, I'd be delighted with that. Yeah. So,
I like UPIA. I'd actually put that in.
Would you?
Because I think it's... I don't think we've referenced any chat. Well, we might have referenced them, but yeah, none have made it in the list, have they? So I like that. And it's just such a random thing. It's like, yeah. like words that you'd see in a Batman comic or something, rather than something
yeah, like
that.
Kapow.
Yeah, I'd let you be on it. I think it's quite a nice slogan. I'm surprised it's not been more kind of like a leisure wear range.
Yeah, I mean, it probably is. You can if you want. Yeah.
What, like a colourful kind of leisure wear range for granddads?
Yeah. Z.
I don't have anything for Z. Oh, man, there'd be enough Zs, weren't there, with the people listening to this?
Yeah, good. Have you got anything?
I think I have got one. I'll have to scroll down. Oh, it's crap. I've gone with zero, zilch, or Zagreb. Bosco Balaban's scoring tally for Villa amounted to a big round nothing following his 5.8 million arrival from Dynamo Zagreb. Prolific elsewhere in his career, the Croatian centre-forward failed to find the net in his two starts and nine substitute appearances for Villa between 2001 and 2002, before banging in the goals again for Zagreb, and Bruges. So there you go.
Zed
is not being, you know.
I mean, there's
not had Zlatan, have we? We've not had Zidane. Well, I suppose we've got Zidane. It's better than Zidane. Better than God, my bum's gone numb.
Better than Zidane. That's a good way of getting in. But that's pretty rubbish as well, isn't it?
Z.
Let's just call it a day there. What I should have done really is wrote down which ones we picked so we could now give the four definitive lists, but I didn't. And she can quickly remember the ones that we picked.
Yeah, we can, can't we?
Go on then. So the definitive, in our opinion, list of A to Z of Aston Villa things. I mean, please send some suggestions, because as we get further to the end, these are quite poor. A is for Acorns. B is for Benteke. C is for Charlie Aitken. D is for Deadly Doug. E is for European Champions. F is for FA Cup. G is for God, Paul McGrath. H is for Holt End. I is for Ian Taylor. J for John Gregory. K for Phil King, L for Lamp, M for Mortimer, N for Chris Nickel, O for Oh It Must Be, P is for Petrov, Q is for Quote, R is for Ron Saunders, S is for Dean Smith, T is for Graham Taylor, U is for Hugo, V is for Villa Park, W for William McGregor, X for Tony Jarre, Y for UPIA, and Z for zero. Yeah, it's a pretty decent list for the most part, I think.
It's a bit of a mixture in there, isn't there?
Yeah, some players.
Takes us to some different places.
Some players, some managers, some just things that are associated with history. I think that's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
Please send us your suggestions, because there's some things that we've definitely missed that will be obvious, and some will be just better than things like Quote and Zero.
Yeah, I'm really intrigued. There'll be so many options for the letters that aren't X,
Q,
and Z. But I'm quite keen to hear what people have got for those three letters particularly, because it was tough.
Yeah. So send those in. Thank you very much for watching this podcast. We're going to do a few other bits and pieces. We'll be back at some point in the future. So stay subscribed and keep up to date with our latest stuff.
Up the Villa.
Thank you for listening to Claret and Blue and Aston Villa podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, then please do let us know. We love hearing your feedback. We'll be back soon with another episode. But until then, up the Villa.